is a big difference. And today I want to show you the difference between the two and why revelation is so important to the believer's life and why believers are called to live by revelation and not just information. The revelation I'm talking about today is revelation knowledge of God's Word, or what we could call spiritual insight into the things of God. Amen. And so I want to begin very quickly. This is going to be hard for you to write, so I'm going to go through this. You probably not be able to write this down, but I want to give you several reasons why that you need revelation and not just information. Are you ready? Information is built upon physical evidence, but revelation is built upon spiritual realities. Information makes you aware of the seen. Revelation makes you aware of the unseen. How many know there's two realms? The spiritual, amen, and the natural, the seen and the unseen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Information informs you of the natural, and revelation brings understanding to you of the spiritual. Information can fill your mind and deceive you into believing knowing is the same as doing. But revelation will change your heart and mind, empowering you to be a doer of the Word and live for God. Information can be seen with your physical eyes. Revelation can only be seen with the spiritual eyes of your heart. Information is based upon human wisdom. Having to know human wisdom is limited, but revelation is based upon God's spiritual wisdom, which is unlimited. Information alone doesn't transform our lives. Revelation does. Revelation, when it really is at work in your life, it transforms how we think, how we speak, and how we act. You know, once we're saved, how many born again people we have in here today? Once we're saved, God wants us to move from information or just natural human knowledge to revelation knowledge. There's a lot of things that we need to know in this life, but those things cap out. Those things are limited. They may help us in everyday life, but you want to know what's going to really help you in everyday life is having the mind of Christ. Having revelation knowledge and knowing what the Word of God says and declares so we can apply that to our lives and live successfully. Because revelation knowledge is spiritual insight and understanding into the Word of God and is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. The importance of the Holy Spirit in us receiving revelation knowledge cannot be overestimated. And so for a moment, I want to talk about the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives to bring what we're talking about today, revelation knowledge. Once again, there's natural human knowledge that we all have and we do need. But as believers, we need something more than natural human knowledge. We need revelation knowledge. The Bible reveals this. And matter of fact, the Bible teaches there's a number of different kinds of knowledge that the Bible talks about. I don't have time to teach all that today. But the highest are the last two kinds, revelation knowledge and applied knowledge. It's not just what we know, but it's what we do with what we know that changes our life. And it's revelation knowledge, our understanding of it, and the application of our life in our life is what actually changes us and makes us more like Christ. It provides the victory. It provides the answers that we have in life. As we search for those things, the truth is, if revelation knowledge is going to come, it's going to come through the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is the means that God uses to teach all of us, His children, so that we can understand the things of God. So I want to begin today the words of Jesus concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Having to know that we live in the Holy Spirit dispensation. Amen. Praise God. And so the Holy Spirit now is the agent of God at work in the earth And he's designed to fill the body of Christ so that we have the mind of Christ, we have the wisdom of God, we have the understanding in the things of that the Word of God is revealed. And so that we can walk in the light of that. And as we're doers of the Word and not hearers only, how many know that we're going to be blessed in our deed? So let's look at some of the things, the significant things that the Scripture teaches concerning the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit was designed to bring what we need in our lives called revelation knowledge. You know, God wants us to move from this natural human life. There's a lot of things that we do need to know. But I can tell you, no matter what we do need and know naturally, and if we need to know, and there's a lot of things we need to know naturally, but how much more are the things that God said that we need to know and understand that He said, and in order to know and understand what He said, we're going to have revelation knowledge. That means spiritual insight and revelation into the Word and the will of God for our life. Now let's look at this in John chapter 14 and verse number 26, rather from the Amplified Translation. But the Comforter, and I love how the Amplified Translation, this Greek word is the word that here the Comforter is the Greek word paraclete. I love how the Holy Spirit brings a sevenfold meaning of this word to us. And so the Holy Spirit expounds upon the meaning of this Greek word paraclete. He says the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Intercessor, the Advocate, the Strengthener, and the Standby, the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit's manifestation in our life will bring these attributes in our life. Having to know if we're without counsel, He's there to give us counsel. If we need help, He's there to help us. If we need to stand in the gap and for someone else, He's the Intercessor. If we need advocation, and someone come to our help, He is our advocate, the one that comes to our side in the time of need. If we need strength, He's there being our strengthener. And if we feel like, you know what, where is God? He says, I'm always there. I'm a standby. The Holy Spirit, here's the problem. We need to know where to look. Most people are looking out here somewhere. When God is right here, if you are His child, He lives inside of you. He lives within your spirit. We need to be mindful and conscious of this. We need to understand that, yes, that God the Father is in heaven, and the Son is at His right hand, but the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, lives in us. God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, and God the live in us by the Holy Spirit. There was plenty of scriptures that let us know that. And notice it said, whom the Father will send in my name. You know, up until this point that Jesus is talking about this, the Holy Spirit under the Old Testament came at various times and moved upon men according to the will of God. That He moved upon them and empowered them to do certain specific jobs for them. But it wasn't until after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit came and could live upon in every believer. It's pretty powerful. So in other words, when Jesus was on that cross and it said that He breathed out His last and said, it is finished, breathed out His last, the temple, the veil of the temple was torn, and it represented the presence of the Spirit of God that was in that temple of the Holy of Holies left. In other words, God is signifying that now, through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our acceptance into the way of the Father through Jesus Christ, Him becoming our Son, the Holy Spirit no longer lived in a temple made by hands. He lives in this temple as spirits made new by God. And then He comes upon us in the baptism of the Holy Spirit to empower us to live this Christian life. But notice it all has to do with the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is no small thing, church. And then notice it says, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and to act on my behalf. Now, when did he send him? He sent him after, in other words, on the day of Pentecost, we know he was sent. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And from that place, the Holy Spirit was never taken back. The Holy Spirit works and moves upon the earth today, and will everyone that will receive the new birth, they become born of the Spirit. And then every person that's born of the Spirit can also be filled with the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit comes upon us and empowers us to do the work of God. Now notice his work here. It says that he brings our attention to, he said, he comes in my name, that means in his place, to represent me and act on my behalf. So everything the Holy Spirit does will always magnify Jesus. Matter of fact, if you want to know how to get the Holy Ghost moving in your life, start talking about Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Notice, here's what Jesus said he will do. He will teach you all things. And he will teach you all things, in other words, all things of God. And he will cause you to recall, he reminds you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Praise God. Here's what I love here when it says that he is the comforter. He's the other translation, he calls it a helper. But he's a helper, a comforter, an intercessor, an advocate, a standby, a strengthener. Hallelujah. And I want us to understand here, he is also, one translation says, I believe it's the New Living Translation, says he's an encourager. And we also could say he is a teacher, because he does all those things. How many know the Holy Spirit is the great encourager? How many know the Holy Spirit is not the condemner? He is the encourager. How many know he is also the one that will teach us? In other words, God says that he's a teacher, a helper, and our God, G-U-I-D-E. He'll lead us and guide us into all truth. We see this also written here in John 16, verses 13, concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth, the whole truth. See, in other words, truth is not something, truth is someone, Jesus Christ and what he said. Amen. For he will not speak of his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father, and he will give you the message that has been given to him. He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. Notice here the things that it says concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He will guide us. He will lead us into all truth. And he will even show us things to come. How many know we need this in our lives? This is why it's so important that we have a living relationship with Almighty God. Through that living relationship with Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, as we desire to know the Father, the Holy Spirit is the great revealer and the helper. Hallelujah. To enable us to know God the Father and God the Son, as well as himself. Now, here concerning how important this is. If this wasn't enough, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I invite you to turn there with me. I'm going to read part of this chapter. We could actually read the whole chapter and verses 1 through 16. But for time's sake today, we're actually going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and read verses 9 through 12. I'm going to turn there with you and give you a time to turn there yourself. And let's see some important things that the Holy Spirit was designed to do. In verse 9 it says, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." In other words, our natural ear has to, in other words, if we're going to hear what God said, something beyond what humanity says and tells us, we're going to hear it by the Holy Spirit. We're going to get it through what is written, and what is written is utmost important, but it's going to need to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of people that read the Word of God and still don't have a clue what it actually means. This is why the Holy Spirit is sent. He's to be our teacher, our helper, and the one that leads us and guides us into this. But God hath revealed them, in other words, what eye hasn't seen or ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for us, God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Notice, by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, that the deep things of God. Amen. And then it says, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God, or the thoughts of God, knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The reason we can know the things and the thoughts of God is because we either know what is written, or and we know what the Holy Spirit is revealed about those things. Matter of fact, the real truth is that the Holy Spirit has to breathe upon and reveal what is written for it to make spiritual sense to us. Hallelujah. That's called revelation knowledge. Now look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know. Everybody say no. That we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. So notice here, the reason the Holy Spirit is given and so important is so that we can know. Once again, everybody say no. This means, this know here is knowledge, or actually revelation knowledge of God, the things that are freely given to us of God. Notice, we don't have to earn them. They're freely given to us of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal what God's grace is freely provided for mankind. What God's grace is freely provided for mankind, that produces faith in our hearts so that we just simply receive what God has freely given. What God's grace gives, man was designed to freely receive. God's Holy Spirit makes those things intelligible to us, known to us, so that we can know what God has given, so that we can know what we can receive from God, so that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. This is important. Through the Holy Spirit, we receive revelation knowledge so that we can see or have spiritual insight and understanding into what God has said or done. Let me give you a natural example of how revelation knowledge works. Let me give you a natural illustration that shows what, when you have revelation knowledge, what it actually will look like. Say, for instance, you were in school back in the day and you didn't like math or one of the subjects that you did or that you took. So you were not doing too well in, so you wanted to pass. You had a tutor, or you spent some extra time back. You know, I've been out of school so long, I hate to say it. Praise the Lord. I don't know if they had tutors then, but you went to the teacher and said, look, I ain't getting it. Can you help me? Okay, so the teacher sat down, and the teacher, you looked at the equations, you looked at, if it's math, he tried to explain it to you, and he said, do you understand that? And, you know, if you were truthful, and you didn't, you said no. You know, it's all right. You know what? It's all right to not be where you need to be. Just don't stay where you don't need to be. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so you understand that. But sooner or later, if you say no, and he keeps teaching you, all of a sudden, when you begin to understand the equation, when you understand what it meant, the conversion of it, and it made sense to you, you could say like this, you understood it, the light bulb came on. Do you understand what I'm saying? You ever had that aha moment? There was something you didn't really see or understand in the natural, and then all of a sudden somebody explained to you, oh, I get it now. I see that. Okay, praise God. You understand? Well, revelation knowledge is that same way. Don't take for granted that when you read the Word, you know everything about it. Amen. Praise God. And matter of fact, all of what is written by God, when it goes from what is written to what is understood, that's when it's come to be understood. That's revelation knowledge. It's revealed knowledge. It's spiritual insight. It's the aha moment. I see what you're saying, God. It's no longer something natural. See, this is what Jesus, why he taught parables. Jesus taught parables. The word parable just simply means to throw down alongside of. In other words, he used natural illustrations to illustrate or to teach spiritual principles so that we would understand from something natural what God was saying spiritually. And so as the Word of God is taught, whether it's taught like today or whether you read it, when revelation comes by the Holy Spirit, now you understand it. You have spiritual insight to the meaning of it. And can I help us in here today? Just let me tell you something. Because the Word of God is not just any book, the Word of God is God talking to us. Because the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12, it's a living thing, and God watches over it to perform it. In other words, hallelujah, because it's living, it means that you ain't going to get everything at one setting. In other words, God will reveal things to you. How is it that you can see what you need to see today, and then 3 weeks from now, you look at it again, and if you're smart, you realize you don't know it all. You know what the Holy Ghost has showed you. You know what's been revealed by the Holy Spirit. And now something else is taught. Something else is said. Something else is heard. You read something else and all of a sudden you see another scripture tied up to this. You see how things connect. Your eyes open. That's called revelation knowledge. And what I'm getting at is just because you do have revelation knowledge concerning a topic doesn't mean you have or know everything about it. It means that the Holy Spirit will continue through revelation knowledge to build upon and grow us in the things that God wants us to know about this. This is why the necessity of the ongoing ministry in the work of the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, we receive revelation knowledge so that we can see or have spiritual insight and understanding to what God has said and done. This is why Smith Wigglesworth, anybody ever heard of him? In case you hadn't, he was documented raising over 20 people from the dead. I believe he went home to be with the Lord around 1947, 1948. But that's 20-some more people than me right now. But I ain't giving up on it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Here's what Smith Wigglesworth once said concerning this. He said, some read the Word of God in Hebrew. Some read it in Greek. I read it in the Holy Ghost. How many know we need to read it in the Holy Ghost? In other words, we read it. What he meant by it was, you may read it in Hebrew. You may read it in Greek and still not understand what it's actually saying or what God wants you to know. The Holy Spirit is the author, and he is the one that will introduce you to the author and the one that will introduce you to the meaning of what's been written. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit is the key because his job is to cause us to have revelation knowledge, or we could say spiritual understanding and insight into the Word of God. See, there is a difference between reading and studying the Word. How many know it's important to read and study the Word? But there's a difference between, listen to what I'm getting ready to say so you get it. There's a difference between reading and studying the Word and receiving revelation knowledge of what you just read and studied. You can read the Bible and still miss God's heart and what He's saying if you only read it or hear it with or through natural reasoning. See, it's not a Bible, it's not a book to be known mentally, it's a book to be understood spiritually. You can have let me give you an example. You can have all the intellectual knowledge, and people got plenty of it. We can have all the intellectual knowledge of the Scripture, and I'm not against intellectual knowledge of the Scripture. However, listen, the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. Saul of Tarsus did before he became Paul, but that knowledge didn't transform either of them. They could read it inside and out. They could quote the Old Testament, the first five books. They could do that. But it didn't transform them or change them. Hallelujah. But that knowledge didn't transform or change them, or the Pharisees or the Sadducees, or Saul, until Saul's encounter, didn't change him, until his encounter with Jesus Christ and the revelation knowledge that the Holy Spirit brought to him. He wrote that he learned what he did. What we have as the gospel, over half of the New Testament, was written by direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. That revelation by the Lord Jesus Christ came through the Holy Spirit. So what we must understand is information fills your mind and can cause you to be puffed up. But revelation fills your heart and causes you to grow up in God. Hallelujah. And it's why God designed us to live by revelation and not just information. Now, here's the good news. The good news is we can all have revelation knowledge. If we are born again in here today, and the good news, if we're not, if we can be born again and can understand the things of God. God doesn't want His Word to be mysteries. The reason why, hallelujah, it is written as so that it can be revealed to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the good news is if we can all have revelation knowledge, and if you're born again, the Holy Spirit is in you to bring this very thing, to bring or to give you a spiritual wisdom and understanding of the Word of God, and to listen into who God is, into who God says you and I are, and who God says and what He says that you and I can do. And one of the great examples of this is found, and we'll park here for a while today before we close, in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 is a great example of this and shows us that not only the revelation knowledge that God wants us to have, but also how to attain it. It's going to show us here in this chapter the revelation knowledge that God wants us to have. That's one thing. But also how you and I as believers can obtain it and how we're to walk in it. So let's begin in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And we're going to read from the Amplified Translation. It says, may blessings, praise, lauderation, eulogy be to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual, given by the Holy Spirit blessing in the heavenly realms. Woo! Glory to God. Now that's a mouthful. But have you ever thought before we get to where we're really going, how we can bless God? You want to know how we can bless God? Number one, we bless God by being doers of the Word. The Bible says that when we do the Word, we show we love God. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15, and other places also said, Jesus said that. But I want us to understand how when man blesses God, here's what God's Word tells us. We praise Him. We speak well of Him. We give glory to Him. That is how we bless God. But God's blessing to us works a different way. When God blesses man, He blesses us, or hath means it's something that's already done. You know, to say that, God bless so-and-so, it sounds really scriptural, but the truth is we should pray, God help them to see how they are already blessed so they can walk in it. Because the truth is, hallelujah, God has already blessed us. So I know we get so religiously trained to just, and it's all right to say, I bless you, my brother. But I want us to understand to pray that God would bless people. What we should pray is that people's eyes would be open. That's revelation knowledge to the blessing that God has already given them, or to the blessings that God has already given them. Now, this is a mind shift. Change, but this is why revelation knowledge is so important. It takes us from natural reasoning to revelation knowledge and spiritual understanding. It says that when God blesses us, He blessed us in Christ. He has already blessed us in Christ. So the truth is, you can't get blessed any more than you already are here today. Now you can, listen, in experience, but as far as positionally speaking, God says, every blessing I'm going to pour it on mankind has already been given in Christ Jesus. It's up to you and I to find out what God has blessed us with and learn to receive it and walk in it. Now, that's a different mindset for most people, but this is why people spend a lot of time asking God to give them something or do for them something that God has already said He's done or already given them. That's why our faith is frustrated, and that's why when we pray many times, there's crickets. In other words, we hear nothing, because God wants us to awaken to what He's already given us. Hallelujah. So notice He has already blessed us, has is past tense, so we could say He's already blessed us in Christ. So in Christ and a union with Christ, in other words, what God wanted to do in man, He did in Christ. And then He put us in Him. So that the blessing has to do with us being in Christ. When we find out who we are, what we have, and what we can do because we're in Christ, that's revelation knowledge. And we live from that place, we live in victory. Because we're not asking God to do something He's already done. We're receiving and walking in that God didn't lie and that the truth is being lived out in our life because we see what He's already done. That changes perspective. Position changes perspective. We go from I'm wishing or I'm hoping or I'm asking for something over here, and the position is, God says, I already got it in Christ. Now, I'm going to, by faith, draw that out, and I'm going to live that way. That's a big difference. Notice He says He's already blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms given by the Holy Spirit. We want to look at the Norley translation of this. This is actually my favorite. It says, who hath blessed us. One translation says, already blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing that heaven itself enjoys. Praise be to God. I love that. I said I love that. When you and I understand this, then we stop asking God to give us what He says He's already done. Instead, I'm learning to appropriate what He's already given to us. And I do that by my faith. That's a big difference, church. Hallelujah. I said, that's a big difference. But see, this is where revelation knowledge comes in. Because we're not acting like God lied. He said He did it. Well, I don't feel it, Pastor. That don't have nothing to do with it. Faith is how you possess it. But you have to first see it in order to be it. And you can't be what you don't see and what you don't believe. But if we will see what God said and know that He's already blessed us, woo, glory be to God, with every spiritual blessing that heaven itself enjoys, then we begin to think and talk and act differently. God wants us to see or have revelation knowledge of all the inheritance we already have or possess because we're in union with Jesus Christ. Now, in just one moment, we're there in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read a portion of a scripture. It's actually a spirit-inspired, I call it a spirit-inspired or spirit-directed prayer. The Apostle Paul prays for the church. This is a prayer that is not a conventional prayer that most people, you hear most people pray. But it's a prayer the church should pray. It's a prayer that you and I should pray daily for ourselves and for one another. This prayer isn't asking God to do something or give us something new, but that we should see what God has already done and given us in Christ. That's a big difference. And this prayer is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. Let's turn there and let's read this together. This is a prayer, once again, a spirit-inspired prayer. So in other words, if it's spirit-inspired, what does that mean? That it's not just for the church at Ephesus, it's for the church. This is what Paul, by revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit, is praying for the church. It is about us, the church, receiving revelation knowledge to see what God has already given, to see what we have been given, who not only who God is, but who we are in Christ, what we have, and what we can do. So let's read this together in Ephesians chapter 1 and beginning in verse 15. It says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." How many have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in here today? There you go. "After I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love for all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention you of my prayers." Now here is his prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a what? A spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is revelation knowledge. He's praying for us to have revelation knowledge. Here it is, the eyes, verse 18, "the eyes of our understanding, our heart, being enlightened." So in other words, we're seeing with our spiritual eyes. We're seeing spiritually, not just something naturally, but something spiritually. "The eyes of our understanding being enlightened." One translation says, "flooded with light." That, in other words, God's light, His Word is light. When we see the Word and the light bulb comes on, that's revelation. "Being enlightened that you may," here it is, "know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of His power in and for us who believe." It's a, in other words, who believe? Believe what? They've received Christ. According to the working of God's mighty power, it's the same that power that He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. You know, that's the power you and I have. "And set Him at your own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. And it put all things under His feet and gave it to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So notice here, this portion of Scripture, this prayer for revelation knowledge, seeing what God has already given us, seeing what we already possess in Christ so that we can be it and we can use it. This is what this is saying. This is not asking God to do something new. It's asking God to show us what He's already done, what He's already given. And as far as He's concerned, what belongs to us? This is why this prayer is what we should pray on an ongoing basis. We should pray it for ourselves. We should pray it for one another. This prayer is a Spirit-inspired prayer. So instead of asking God to do something new or doing something for us that He's really already done, then what we're to do is believe that we have understanding of what He's already done, what His Word has said, and what He's done so that we can be it and use it. And you'd find here there's three primary things that revelation knowledge focuses around, that you and I to focus around in our life. Number one, it says here that we may, in verse 18, know the hope of His calling. The hope of His calling. The hope of His calling has everything to do with us coming to Christ and our identity as sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. We're all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We're not children of God because we're born into this earth. We're human beings because we're born into this earth. Everyone is part of the human race, but everyone is not part of the family of God. You become part of the family of God by faith in Jesus Christ. So this is talking about this hope of His calling. Of course, it is the call that God invites us into sonship. But sonship has everything to do with identity. So God wants us to know our identity as sons of God. He wants us to understand it. If you're born again today, you are a son of God. You have a brand new identity. But how many people live far below that new identity in Christ? This is why this is so important. They still say things like this: "Well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace." Well, let me correct it. You were, if you're born again, you were a sinner, and yes, you're saved by faith. But you're not an old sinner anymore. You are actually a child of God. You are actually created in the image and likeness of God, and you are actually the righteousness of God in Christ. That's a big difference. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Not only are you forgiven, a lot of people focus on the forgiveness part. Now you're made the righteousness of God in Christ. You're not just an old forgiven sinner. You're a new creature in Christ and made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's a big difference, church. But it comes with understanding the call of God and that being our sonship, and why everybody say identity, who you really are. See, you live like somebody else until you know who God says you are. And He's already made you this. You don't have to strive for it. You have to find out what He says and just agree with it and begin to walk in it. Walk it out. Blessed be God. Now you can see it more clearly. This is why we need revelation knowledge. But when you see it, you can be it. Number two, in that same verse of verse 18, it says, "And what is the riches of your glory in the inheritance of the saints?" In the saints. Everybody say inheritance. Inheritance, the second thing that God wants us to have revelation knowledge is about inheritance. Knowing what already belongs to us. Woo! Glory be to God. Knowing what already belongs to us. You don't have to beg God to forgive you. Forgiveness belongs to us. You don't have to beg God to heal you. Healing belongs to you. When you see it this way, it's a big difference. Everything that you and I have need of was provided for us in Christ. When we understand that, then it's no longer hard. It's not like we're trying to make God do something He don't want to do. It's not like we're trying to twist God's arm. It is us simply finding out through revelation knowledge what God says, who we are, and now what we have, and just say, "Blessed be God of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath already blessed me with this in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." In other words, heaven is the source of it. My faith gives power to it in this earth. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. My faith activates. What belongs in the spirit realm and true in my spirit is activated through my soul and my body by my faith in Christ. And then last but not least, the last thing that he says in this verse, notice in verse 19, he says, "And what is the exceeding greatness?" I love what the Amplified says. "And what is the immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness of your power, of His power in and for us who believe?" In other words, this power is talking about the authority, our God-given authority. Because let me tell you something. From identity comes authority. Not from identity, not only do we have an inheritance and possess something, but we also, from our identity, have authority. Authority. In other words, this power, our God-given authority or delegated power, it means our legal right or legal might to use God's power and exercise authority over the devil. I'm going to say this and say it like this. See, this is why you must understand, you must know who you are in Christ, your identity. Because when you know who you are, that opens the door for you to understand your inheritance. But you must know who you are and what you possess in order to use authority at the highest level. But you didn't, authority is not something you earned. Authority is something you received the moment you made Jesus the Lord of your life and became a son or daughter of God. John 1, just write it down, jump real quick. John 1 says, "As many as received Christ, to them He gave power." This is that word, authority, to become the sons of God. That word authority or exousia means the legal right and the legal might to become the sons of God. That means as sons of God, we get to do what the Son of God did by exercising authority over the devil. If that's not so, then why did Jesus say, "All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations." In other words, in the Great Commission, He transferred that authority to us. Once again, in this prayer, we could spend much more time, but we must hurry. Once again, this is not a prayer that we pray that we're to get something, or that God would give us something new, or that we don't already have. But rather that we see or have revelation knowledge of what has already been given to us by God. That's a big difference. Woo! This is why we should pray it daily. I said, this is why we should pray it daily. When we do, we believe it, we act differently. Not because God did anything differently, but because we understand it differently. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Because you can't walk out what you don't understand. It is a prayer for us to see or have revelation knowledge of what we already have. Hallelujah. And once you have spiritual understanding of what God says He's given us, your faith simply learns to walk in what is already it already possesses, what you already possess. So you and I stop asking God to give us things He declares we already have. Because when we do, no wonder we live frustrated. God, would you just bless me? God, I wish I would you give me peace? The scripture tells us how we have peace. We have it in Him. When we keep our mind stayed on Him, we have perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3. See, God has given us these things. We just need to have to access it. Instead of begging God like He's withholding something, we find out that He's really already given it, and we just access that. We say, oh, that's a big difference. Matter of fact, it already belongs to me. I'm not trying to make God do something He don't want to do. He's already done it. Just receive it and walk in it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So I don't ask or pray that God, I just would, I wish you would just make me new. You know, no, I am a new creation. I wake up every morning and say, I'm a new creature in Christ. God, would you please make me righteous and make me holy? Well, He says He already calls us righteous and holy by the blood of Jesus. And by us being in Christ, we have become, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the righteousness of God in Christ. See, the problem we have is that we can't differentiate between positional truth and experiential truth. Just because we haven't lived it out don't mean that it ain't ours. God says it's ours. Positionally, it's true. Our faith causes us to experience this. Once we understand what God has already given us positionally in Christ, our faith just simply accesses it and walks it out. Hallelujah. But we're not begging and asking God to do something that He don't want to do. We don't have to ask or beg God and say things like they said in the Old Testament. God created me a new heart. I have a new heart. I have a new heart and a new start. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. But here's the problem. You and I have to renew our mind to these truths. And renewing our mind to these truths will cause revelation knowledge to come. Because as you want to have revelation knowledge comes, it comes through renewing your mind and meditating upon the Word of God. That's how it comes. And the Holy Spirit gets involved in that. Because as you spend time with God, God reveals Himself to you. Hallelujah. And did you know, just in case you didn't know, this is why we should be focused today, because you're spending time with God right now. In other words, when you hear His Word taught, this is why you have to pay attention. Because God is trying to get something to you. I know our mind wanders. And, you know, we're thinking about the chicken dinner. And we're thinking about this or that. Or we got to do later. Or what we got to do tomorrow. Or go to work. And all those kind of things. But we need to be like Mary, like we sang about today. And just block everything out and sit at the feet of Jesus for these moments. And receive. And the same thing when we get into the Word of God. Turn your phone off. Amen. Praise the Lord, I could go somewhere, but I'm not. What we must do is we must learn to live from our position in Christ. What I do is continue to pray for revelation knowledge and understanding, because you can see it better. You can understand it clearer, or even more that God wants to show you. I don't know everything about my identity. I don't know everything about my inheritance. I don't know everything about authority. But we should pray this prayer because God is saying, I want to show you everything about it. So that you can walk in what is already given and who you already are. So we pray these things so that we can accurately walk in and use the things already given us in Christ. We don't have to have faith for what we already are, have, or possess, but you do need to use faith to walk in it. See, I don't have to have faith that I got a car because I got it. It's right there. If I possess it, I really don't have to have faith for it. I just can relax. That's why faith is a rest in one sense. But what I do with faith is I need faith to walk in it. In other words, I don't need to have faith if that I'm a new creature in Christ. I is. But I have to have faith to walk in it. This is why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith receives and learns to walk in what God has already provided instead of trying to make God give you something or do something that He already says He has. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. And so, we walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by the unseen realities of the Word of God. Those unseen realities of the Word of God come through the Holy Spirit revelation knowledge to us. Hallelujah. And when we receive it and agree with it, then that power can be manifested in our lives. There is nothing that God is withholding from us. Hallelujah. This is why there's a big difference between information and revelation. And so let's look at this for a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Well, we must understand that faith walks in the victory it already has. And it does so by its confession. It does so by its confession. It says, fight the good fight of faith. You know, the fight of faith is the only fight the believer is called to fight. And it's a faith fight. It's the fight to stay in faith or the fight to stand that it takes to stand in faith or to stand upon the Word of God against all that would come and oppose us. And it says, notice, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are called. In other words, take possession of eternal life. Whereunto you are called and have confessed a good confession, actually, or profession. Here, the word both here, this word profession is the word confession. Has confessed a good confession before many witnesses. You want to know how to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life? You do it by your confession of faith. You do it by your confession of faith. I said you do it by your confession of your faith. Your confession of faith is how you fight the good fight of faith. How you hold your ground and stand in faith is how you lay hold on eternal life. And it's how you, actually, your good confession is how you identify with Jesus Christ and all that God has done for us in His salvation. That's how we do it, through a good confession. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's look at, in closing today, Philemon 1:6. And it's going to show us, it tells us how our faith not only grows, becomes powerful and effective. It's going to work for us through our confession. That the communication of our faith or the sharing of our faith becomes what? It becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Notice this, here it comes. The communication or the sharing of our faith. You want to know how your faith is getting put to work for you? It becomes effectual. The word effectual there means powerful. By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. Notice it didn't say something that you're going to have one day. It's not something you're praying for, hoping for, or wishing for. It's something you acknowledge day in and day out that you already have in Christ. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. You want to know how your faith grows, becomes a powerful and effective? It comes through faith's confession. By the acknowledging. Hallelujah. Notice, it comes, the communication of your faith or the sharing of your faith, here it is, becomes effectual, powerful, working. That's what the word effective means. By the acknowledging or by us, our confession of faith, by our knowledge and our confession of every good thing that's within you in Christ Jesus. See, you're not confessing the word to make God do something he hasn't already done or make him do something he doesn't want to do. Come on. You're confessing. Confession is about confessing what he says already belongs to you. What he's already done. That's what helps us. That's what changes us. And you want to know how your faith becomes powerful? How it becomes working? It comes working by you acknowledging every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. Notice it didn't say every bad thing, because there ain't no bad things. There's not one bad thing within you in Christ, but yet the devil will sit on your shoulder day in and day out and condemn you. Will make you mindful of your past. Will make you mindful of how you missed it. Will remind you of why the word ain't true. Or did God really mean this? Or did God did this for somebody else, but it can't be true for you. He will lie to you on everything. He is the liar and the father of lies. But the scripture says that here's how our faith becomes powerful and working in our lives and in us and through us. By our acknowledging every good thing in us in Christ Jesus. Not only this is how we fight the good fight of faith, this is how we lay hold on eternal life, and this is how we possess everything that already belongs to us, and how our faith grows by our confession of faith. Now let's stand to our feet this morning, and let's make a bold confession of faith. Are you ready? See, the things I'm talking about today is revelation knowledge of the Word of God. I'm going to make this statement. The Word that you get thrilled with is the Word that will work for you. Come on, this is why, listen, this is why you can't just sit there and say, oh me, oh my, I'll be glad when this is over, praise the Lord. I got it in my notes here. Pastor preached something like this 3 months ago. Come on, Brother Ryan, and help me. Praise the Lord. Oh, he's already there. That's good. You're a champion, brother. See, when we really do see that we have something, we do get thrilled with it. See, there's a big difference in trying to scrape and claw for healing than seeing God says, I already done it. Just make it yours. I'm not trying to be healed. I am the healed. You say, well, Pastor Chris, what about those symptoms? What about them? You don't deny the symptoms. You deny them the right to stay there and have authority over you. And you change it by revelation knowledge of the Word, and you disagree with God. You fight from the victory, not for the victory. You fight with the victory, not trying to get the victory. See who you are in Christ. Say it with me. I am a child of God. Now listen, let your heart agree with your mind. Say it with me. I am a child of God. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. My old life is gone. My new life has begun. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes me to win. I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith in Jesus Christ. In Christ, I am complete. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. And I can do what God says I can do. And my faith possesses what God says he's already given, already belongs to me, and it is changing. It is changing the circumstances and the situations that are contrary to the Word of God in my life. I boldly confess, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. I am the healed, the redeemed, and the delivered. And I say so. Thank you, Father. I am loved by God. And I thank you for everything that you willed for me. It is mine in Christ. I pray that you continue to bring revelation knowledge concerning these things, so I walk in everything that already belongs to me, that you've already given in Christ, in Jesus' name. Now let's give God a thanks and shout of praise in here today. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now I believe that's helped you. I believe that's helped you. Say it with me. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Completely liberated. I know the truth and continue therein, and the truth sets me free. See, it's the truth you know. Listen, the truth you know and continue in that sets you free. I submit myself to God. I resist the devil, and he flees. Satan, you have nothing in me and no power over me. Sickness and disease, you have nothing in me and no power over me. Fear and oppression, you have nothing in me and no power over me. Go in Jesus' name. I boldly confess, I am the healed, I am the redeemed, and I am delivered by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. I have it now, and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed with that said amen. Praise God. And give God a shout of praise in here again. Hallelujah. See, that's how you have to do it. Be seated one moment before we go today. Hallelujah. You know, it's important that as we as believers learn who we are, our identity, what we have, our inheritance, and what we can do, the power to live this life, our authority. As important as that is, and this is what we focused on today, all that's tied, listen to me, all that's tied back to God's great plan of redemption. Everything God wanted for man, he did in Christ. And how he gets us to us is gets us in Christ.